Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 209. Grace, like a fountain, ever flows, fresh succours to renew. The Lord my wants and weakness knows, my sins and sorrows too. 209.
Together from the Holy Word of God, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66. The book of the prophet Isaiah, reading chapter 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man, he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, he that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood, he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth, and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth, and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination, and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Teach us now to pray, and grant us each that true spirit of prayer, and help us to venture unto thy mercy seat, and all to plead that blood that does for sin atone, all to plead that righteousness which is spotless and pure, and undefiled, and acceptable, to plead that name that is above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus. O Lord, we would not come to thee on the grounds of our worth, merit, works, or desert, for we are sinners, but would come to thee on the grounds of thy mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray, and do remember us for good. Oh, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Lord, do be mindful of us as we gather here on this weeknight occasion at the end of another working week. Lord, thou knowest how we have turned in. Oh, there may be weariness, tiredness. Oh, there may be many thoughts. Oh, there may be many things yet concerning us. Lord, we pray as we are found together here in thy house that all these things may be put out, that we might be blessed with an hour well spent in thy court. Lord, we pray for thy fell presence, the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Would it please thee, Lord, to draw near even this night, and come and bless us, and come and help us. Oh, may there be a divine purpose in us being here tonight. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the way that we take, the path that we walk, our spiritual needs, our providential needs. And oh, would it please thee to supply every need. Man looketh upon the outward appearance. A man may think, consider, and judge. But God looketh upon the heart. And thou knowest what the truth is. And Lord, thou knowest how we have come here tonight, what prayers have been put up against the service. And, O Lord, those crying for a word in season, for a handful of purpose, even a crumb from the Master's table, that food convenient, a word in season, but a word from the Lord, the word of the Lord, but all that word applied, that word given, that word heard, that word received. Oh, cause thy glorious voice to be heard here tonight, and grant us, Lord, that hearing ear, and that wise and understanding heart. Oh, what a sweet evidence of being one of thy sheep, to hear the good shepherd's voice, and to follow him. Oh, Lord, then do come, and prepare our hearts to receive thy word. Do we not read that the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord? And, O Lord, as it is in nature, the ground cannot prepare itself. It is impossible, cannot be done. And so it is spiritually, we cannot prepare our own hearts. But what a great mercy if we feel that need and see that need to be prepared. And how often through sanctified troubles and trials and afflictions and losses and crosses, burdens and cares, the heart is prepared. Or where there is that overturning, 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 that breaking up of the hard ground. Or when the breaker has gone forth, thy word comes as an hammer. Or the heart is prepared. What a great mercy if we are found here tonight with a prepared heart. Oh, but Lord, we pray for the seed of thy good word to enter in. Oh, Lord, then do come. Leave not my soul destitute, even of a blessing this night. Lord, remember any here with special need. Those, Lord, in darkness, those in sorrow, those in the path of tribulation, those, Lord, who feel desperate, pressed out of measure, troubled on every side, or there may be one crying out, be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Lord, there may be a soul here beginning to sink. Lord, save me. Oh, sinking in the mire. Lord, save me. Oh, sinking in utter despair. Lord, save me. Sinking in feeling that there is no hope. Lord, save me. And may it be that Jesus immediately stretches forth his hand. Oh, to catch. And to prove that underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh Lord, then remember those in spiritual need, longing to know that they are thine, loved with an everlasting love, saved with an everlasting salvation, longing to know that they have found grace in thy sight, a chosen vessel of mercy, who long for that spirit of adoption whereby they may cry, Abba, Father, my Father. All the Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are of the children of God. All those longing for that saving knowledge of Christ, whom to know is life eternal, and to know their sins forgiven, and that peace in believing. All those who suffer much in that tempestuous sea of doubts and fears, and oh, that besetting sin of unbelief, the very opposite of faith. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me, and assure me that I am thine, to be enabled to say that my beloved is mine, and I am his, that all is well, for time and for eternity. Lord, should there be found any here yet, disinterested, dead in trespasses and in sin, satisfied with a form, an outward appearance, a lamp of profession, a name to live? Or would it please thee, Lord, to awaken and quicken, to call by thy grace, pluck them as brands from the burning? O Lord, have mercy. Lord, do remember any in sorrow, sadness, disappointment and distress, and do comfort their hearts. O Lord, we would lovingly remember each and every one, from the youngest to the eldest, and commit all unto thee. O Lord, remember those unable to come this night, who would be here if they could, those at home with the little ones and children, those caught up in employment, any away at this time, and those laid aside in weakness, infirmity, sickness or affliction. Lord, remember such. And do remember any who could have come, but had no desire to come. Lord, have mercy upon them, we pray. Oh, we would be thankful for bringing safely home those who have been away, and for journeying mercies. Oh, Lord, do bless this cause of truth, and may they prove here that thy Spirit remaineth. And may there be those gracious evidences of thy Spirit's work in the hearts and lives of many. And, O Lord, may it be here and throughout Zion, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Oh, how we long for that bringing forth of those elect vessels of mercy, those souls manifest as thy children. O Lord, those called by thy grace, those souls brought to be enabled to say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What a wonderful mercy if we can speak but a little of that hope that we have of what thou hast done for our never dying souls. O Lord, then would it please thee to constrain souls by the love of Christ, and make them willing in the day of thy power to forsake all and to follow thee. O Lord, do bless the ministry of thy word here, and do help thy servants who come from time to time to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to declare the whole counsel of God, to preach Christ and him crucified, or to lift the gospel pole high that sinners may look and live. And oh, may there be that gracious effect. Clothe thy word with divine power, and grant that godly increase both in church and also in congregation, and bring back prodigals, bring in others such as shall be saved, that thy name might be glorified. Lord, glorify thy name. Remember Zion. O, return with mercies unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Truly we live in a day of small things. Zion languisheth. How few come to her solemn feasts. And, O Lord, it fills us with sadness when we so often now seem to hear of chapels being closed, where the congregation has dwindled, where there's no one left to carry on the burden, and the doors are shut. O Lord, who have mercy, we pray, shine upon the churches, lest they die. But O Lord, in this day, age and generation to which our lot has been cast, oh, may we by thy grace be found as those whose light shine brightly in this dark world of sin, who walk humbly with their God and show the world how Christians ought to live, to show forth whose we are and whom we serve. Grant us thy holy tender fear, and may it be found in exercise, that unctuous bright light to all that is right, and yet that bar to all that is wrong. So did not I, because of the fear of God, neither to court men's smiles, nor to fear their frowns, but to do that which is right in thy sight, whatever man may say, whatever man may threaten, whatever man may do. O Lord, help us to obey thee and trust in thee. As it has been said, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Oh, to make that stand, and having done all, still to stand. Grant us, Lord, much grace to stand in this evil day. Do, Lord, have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. Oh, we do fear and tremble. We do not know the future. We do not know what may happen, but things seem so uncertain. Oh, Lord, spare us from our enemies. How subtle they are, how crafty, how devious they are. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear and bring all their scheming and planning to naught. Overthrow the counsel of the wicked. And, O Lord, do graciously hear the cries of thy people, the little remnant, who sigh and cry over the abominations which are done in our land, who tremble for the ark of God, who greatly fear thy rod. Oh, will shortly come down so hard upon this wicked, wicked nation of ours. All that seems to glory in abominations and such evil things that would pollute the minds of even little children. Oh Lord, how we fear. Have mercy, we pray, and spare us yet. We marvel at thy long suffering, thy patience, thy forbearance. But Lord, as we know through Scripture, through the histories of time, oh, there will come that time when the Lord will judge. Ah, Lord. Remember also the nations of the earth at this time. O Lord, we are warned of rumours of wars and wars, nation rising up against nation. Oh, we pray for peace in our times, and we would be thankful for the peace that we have enjoyed now over many years. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt maintain and continue that peace. But, O Lord, again, weapons that man has developed. O Lord, do constrain and restrain, we beseech thee. And may it be our comfort to know that God is in control. God is upon the throne. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees it. All events at thy command. Help us to look to thee. Help us to trust in thee. And do help us to serve thee only. We would be thankful for all thy many, many blessings and mercies and comforts and privileges that we have. Oh, we are surrounded by thy mercies. We would be thankful. We do fear that we come short in our thanksgiving. We would praise and bless thy holy name, whose favours are divine. Lord, when we feel to be so insignificant, so unworthy, even of the very least of thy mercies and truth, not deserving of any favour. Oh, how thankful we ought to be. Lord, help us through the remainder of this service as we will sing thy worthy praises. May it be with a heart and understanding, singing unto the Lord. As we turn to thy word, do shine upon it that we may see light in thy light. Open it up to our understanding and grant the Spirit's application. Lord, following this service, to grant thy blessing and take each one back to their homes in peace and safety. Compassion on us have, we pray. Empty, send us not away. And do forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
To grant his gracious help, I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter that we read together, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. As I stand before you here tonight with an open Bible before me, indeed before us each, oh, we would declare faithfully the word of God, that there is a way to heaven. Oh, that there is a way of life that the Lord has ordained for all his people. And the Lord Jesus speaks of that way as the narrow way. But let us remember the end, it leadeth unto heaven. The broad way leadeth unto hell. There is no other way. Each one of us here tonight are in one or the other way, either the broad way or the narrow way. Only the narrow way leadeth unto life, unto heaven. Oh, what heart searching. Which way are we found in? Which way are we travelling? Or do we have that desire to be found in the narrow way? Well, again, the words of the Lord Jesus, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But few, a little remnant. The Lord's people have always been a little remnant. I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, which leadeth unto death, and many are found therein. I do believe the Lord has done something for our never-dying souls when we're brought into concern over the state of our never-dying souls and a never-ending eternity. All just to consider a never-ending eternity, that it will never, ever end. Either in heaven or in hell. Either in eternal bliss, eternal peace, eternal joy, or eternal misery, eternal sorrow, eternal grief. Oh, may the Lord have mercy. Oh, may the Lord quicken souls. May the Lord awaken. Oh, may he bring us each into need of his mercy, for we are all sinners. And as sinners, we deserve hell, the wrath of God, the outpouring of his anger. We live in such a day when man speaks so glibly, flippantly of God. All the child of God is brought in measure to understand something of the holiness of God. Or did we not read in verse 2? But to this man will I look, or be mindful of, even to him that is poor, surely poor in spirit, and of a contrite spirit, if you will, a broken heart, humbled under the mighty hand of God, emptied from vessel to vessel, laid low, and trembleth at my word? Does that describe you and me? Are we found amongst those who are poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word? Do we know what it is to tremble at the word of God? For God is a consuming fire. The majesty of God, the greatness of God, the justice of God. And as a sinner to tremble at the anger of God, the wrath of God, the righteous vindication of God, or against a guilty, vile sinner. God is a sin-hating God. And all the depravity of man by nature, he loves to sin. It's in his nature. All man left to himself, he loves to sin against God. And God absolutely abhors and hates sin and will punish the sinner. The holiness of God, the purity of God. He cannot behold sin in any degree, in any way of toleration. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But the Lord in his great love and mercy unto his people will begin that work of grace, will bring that soul into need. Indeed, the Lord will teach that soul the truth. How vital that we are taught the truth of ourselves, by nature lost, ruined, guilty, hell deserving. All the truth that we cannot save ourselves, we cannot deliver ourselves, we cannot ransom ourselves. Indeed, spiritually, that we are bankrupt, that we have nothing to pay. And then the Lord to teach us his mercy, that God is merciful. Oh, to bring us to the footstool of his mercy at the throne of his grace, to plead for his mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord will not bring any soul there to whom he will not grant his mercy. If we are truly praying this night, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, God will be merciful to you, the sinner. Ah, but that soul feeling to be so sinful, so poor, so vile, so lost, so undone, so hopeless, so guilty, so troubled. And yet it is these souls who are brought to understand and rejoice in the mercy of God, to obtain God's mercy, to be brought to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as our Lord, our Saviour, our Redeemer. But let us just remember the words of the Lord Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Yes, again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They strive to enter in at the straight gate. They follow me in the narrow way which leadeth unto life. Ah, that narrow way. And he led them forth by the right way. The Lord will only lead his people forth by the right way here upon this earth. Strangers and pilgrims, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This earth is not our rest, it is polluted. This the Lord will teach his people. We're not here forever. If you will, we're on enemy's territory. All that we should hold everything with a very, very loose hand. One day we must die. We know not the day of our death. It is the one certainty in our life that one day we shall die. But oh, to be prepared to die, prepared against that great irreversible day when time will be no more, that great judgment day of eternal separation, the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. Now, as the Lord may be pleased to help me to speak of the pathway, the narrow way, because the Lord Jesus also said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. That is certain. Also the apostle, and he knew much of it, that we must needs through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that is the pathway of a child of God. Much tribulation. God is sovereign. How he deals with his people, how he leads his people, and what tribulations they shall come into. And this word tribulation, it covers many, many, many things. Whether it be affliction, whether it be sickness, whether it be infirmity, whether it be weakness in body or in mind, whether it be trouble, whether it be trials, there are trials, there are fiery trials. Whether it be deep waters, whether it be difficulties, whether it be problems, whether it be bereavement and loss and disappointment, you see all these things in that way of tribulation. And yes, the unbeliever, the worldling, also suffers these things. But the child of God will have them sanctified. What does that mean? Set apart for holy use. Sanctified for his soul's benefit and good. Sanctified to keep him in that narrow way. You know what a thought it is that in the child of God there is that new man of grace but also the old man of sin. And what a warfare there is found. A mighty warfare. And man, even a child of God, left to himself, is so prone to wander out of that narrow way. All like the children of Israel in their pilgrimage of 40 years through the wilderness. What sins they committed. Even at times speaking of going back to Egypt. Well, do we have one stone to cast? If we know anything of the plague of our own hearts, no. There but for the grace of God go I. Oh, what poor sinners we are. Myself I cannot save. Myself I cannot keep. No, not for a moment, but strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. But then, in this way, the Lord has promised to comfort his people. And oh, it is the burden, trouble, distressed, cast down, dejected child of God who longs for this comfort. And just look at how the Lord will come to comfort his people from time to time as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Perhaps many, if not all of us here tonight, can look back to our childhood and remember a mother's comfort. Oh, when we were sad, upset, distressed, hurt, grieved. Perhaps there'd been an upset at school. Perhaps we'd been bullied. Or perhaps we've fallen over and hurt ourselves and running to mother. And how mother would so lovingly, tenderly listen and care and attend. Oh, it is that loving, tender care perhaps set forth here as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. It is the Lord's people so often who need that comfort, who long for that comfort, or in these various tribulations, in the things that they're called to pass through, in the trial of their faith. Oh, how they long for that comfort spiritually. Oh, they long for that comfort. What comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe? Ah, but they long for that comfort in the gospel. They long for that comfort to know that Jesus is their Lord and Saviour. Or they long for that comfort to know that their sins have been forgiven, their iniquities have been pardoned. Or that soul in distress who does not feel that comfort, how they long for it. Or that cry, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. They long to be comforted with that sweet assurance. All that sweet assurance that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or not just to know that Christ died for his people, but that he died for me. Oh, the Lord to come and speak peace into their hearts. Is there one here tonight longing for this comfort? Oh, this blessed, sacred comfort, for the Lord himself to reveal himself unto you, to manifest himself, to speak peace into your poor troubled heart, to assure you of his love, his mercy, his compassion, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. The time of love will come when ye shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say for me. Or perhaps a soul here tonight, blessed with that hope in the mercy of God, just thinking of the children of Israel and that Passover night, there they were sheltering under the blood. And it may be so with you, that tonight by faith you would be found sheltering under the blood. Or you're looking unto Jesus. You've been brought as it were to Calvary. Or you see there how his blood was shed. You see those streams of mercy. And by faith you would shelter beneath, hoping that the angel of death will pass over you. Or when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There will be no death, because Christ has died. Oh, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, lay down his life a ransom for many. And there by faith you look to him and hope in him and trust in him. All but what you long for is that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. Or what you long for is for the Lord to so speak peace into your heart, to grant you that sweet assurance that he died for you. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. I think it was that man, afflicted, born of four, let down for the tiling of the home before the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Or perhaps that is what you long for, to hear the Lord say unto you, thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, to know our sins, which are innumerable, our sins which are so wicked, so bad, or our sins which are so dreadful, and yet to know our sins forgiven. Yes, that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Oh, it may be that you fear the Lord's anger and wrath, and yet you would hope in his mercy. You know that you deserve his wrath, and you feel to be under his wrath. In chapter 12 we read this. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Oh, to see the anger of God turned away, as it were in Christ. When Christ suffered upon the cross at Calvary, he bore the sins of his people. The anger of God against the sins of his people was poured out upon Christ. We cannot begin to imagine, to contemplate, to consider his sufferings, his agonies, his sorrows. Oh, as the wrath of God has poured out upon him. Oh, that the sinner might be spared. Oh, that the guilty might be acquitted. That the debt might be paid. That all captive soul might be brought into liberty. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. It just comes to mind, think of dear Peter. He did love his Lord, but he didn't know the weakness of his own flesh. Though all men deny thee, so will not I. He meant well. But oh, what a deep lesson he had to learn. There in the high priest's house, not once, nor twice, but three times he denied any knowledge of his Lord. I know not the man. And when that cock crowed twice, and Jesus looked upon Peter, that wasn't a look of anger. It was a look of compassion and love and pity. And it broke Peter's heart. And Peter went forth and wept bitterly. Oh, what a sinner he had been. He must have feared that the Lord would be angry with him. Now, whether Peter himself was a witness to Christ at Calvary, we must leave, because we read that he went out and wept bitterly. Whether he would come back to see his Lord there suffering upon the cross, we must leave. We know that John was there, Mary was there, others were there. Oh, what Peter must have been passing through. But on that glorious resurrection day, go and tell my disciples and Peter also. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you. We just think of that man who fell among thieves on a road down to Jericho. It has been said he should never have been going that way. We leave that. But there he was in great distress. There he was, seemingly dying. Ah, stripped, robbed, beaten, and left half dead. And there comes first, was it a Levite, and then followed by the priest. They look upon him, but pass by on the other side. No compassion, no comfort, no care. But a certain Samaritan coming that way. I've always felt spiritually that is Jesus coming in that way in his flesh, God manifests in the flesh, or coming down to earth from heaven, coming down as a real man, coming to live that life here upon this earth, coming to fulfill the law on behalf of his people, coming to suffer, bleed and die, to shed his blood to atone for sin, to become the captain of their salvation, a certain Samaritan coming that way when he saw him, he had compassion and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, and set him upon his own ass and took him to the inn. Oh, he cared for him. He did all that was necessary. Oh, the love, the tenderness, the compassion, the goodness, the merciful kindness, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. There may be one here who feels to be, as it were, like that man who fell among thieves. Or you feel to be in such a pitiful condition. Or it may be that one and another have not helped you, not cared for you, passed by on the other side. Oh, but this good Samaritan, he will come. He will come at that appointed time, that set time. Or he will have compassion. He is full of compassion. His compassions, they fail not. It's a beautiful word, isn't it, compassion? Or like the priest who can have compassion upon the ignorant and on those who are out of the way. The great high priest, full of compassion. As one whom his mother comforted, oh, it may be that you long for those wounds which sin have made to be bound up. Oh, they feel to be incurable. Well, remember the man full of leprosy, but who came to Jesus. There he was afar off, there he was unclean, there he was defiled, there he was his incurable disease. But what faith was given to him. To see in the Lord Jesus Christ his only hope, his only plea, and that venture of faith unto him. You see, no one else would comfort him. He was a leper, cast out of a city. But he came to Jesus, fell down and worshipped him in his prayer. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Thou canst cleanse me. Thou canst heal me. What a prayer. And you think, naturally speaking, leprosy was incurable. There was no known cure. It was almost like a sentence of death. But there was hope. And this leper, he hoped in the Lord Jesus. He hoped that the Lord Jesus would have compassion upon him and attend to him. Lord, if thou wilt. It seems that the leper believed that the Lord was able. There was no natural physician able, but he believed the Lord Jesus was able. But, oh, would it be his will? Lord, if thou wilt, if I might but find grace in thy sight, if thou wilt remember me, be gracious unto me. I'm just a poor sinner. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. All I have is awful, incurable disease of sin. But, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thou canst heal me. I will be thou clean. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Indeed, if you think of it, all of those in the four Gospels who came rightly, and when we say rightly, we think prayerfully and in real felt need, who came to the Lord Jesus, who came by faith, who came believing that he was able, he was the promised Messiah, he was the Christ, he was the anointed one. Everyone received comfort. All that the blind could then see, the lame could walk. Ah, the maimed were made whole. The diseased were cured. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you. Not one was turned away. Not one was rejected. Not one was refused. And to not one of them did Jesus say, I cannot help you. Nor did he say, I will not help you. But he healed all those that had need of healing. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you. And remember, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Unto him that is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ah, the great high priest at the right hand of the Father in glory above. Ah, he who looks upon his people. Indeed, he who prays for his people. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Well, it may be that in your pathway at present, things are very hard, things are very dark, things are very trying, things are very difficult. And if you have the life of God in your soul, then you're found at the throne of grace. But perhaps the Lord is silent. Perhaps you're walking in darkness and have no light. Oh, perhaps things are so crooked, things are so hard. The wind is contrary, and you wonder where the scene will end. Perhaps your greatest grief is not so much the troubles, the sorrows, the difficulties, the afflictions, the problems. It's the Lord is silent. He answered her not a word. And oh, when the Lord is silent, there seems to be no comfort. No comfort when I cry and shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. When the heavens feel to be as brass. Oh, when the Lord doesn't answer one word, there seems to be no comfort. Perhaps you turn to the Bible, the Word of God, and there just seems to be nothing. A sealed book. You call upon him in prayer. But like Elijah's servant, there is nothing, nothing. Or you feel to be forsaken, you feel to be forgotten. How often a child of God feels to be forgotten. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But what does Zion say in answer to this? The Lord hath forsaken me and my Lord hath forgotten me. But what does the Lord say unto Zion? Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Now, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me and my Lord hath forgotten me, because that's what Zion felt. In her pathway, her situation, her circumstances, the things which had come upon us, upon Zion. But the Lord promises here, yet will I not forget thee, not forgotten of God. It is true that often we may forget him, but the Lord will never, ever, ever forget his people. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Now, I do believe that in such times when a child of God is struggling, his faith is being tried. Things are very adverse and difficult and so hard. Enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That is when the Lord is both trying and proving. But also the Lord is teaching and instructing. And the Lord is also keeping that soul close to him in dependence upon him. Keeping that soul humble, keeping that soul low. Keeping that soul poor, keeping that soul needy, keeping that soul at the throne of grace. Ah, the Lord will maintain that life of faith, that life of prayer. Oh, how often do we come to those places where we just feel we cannot continue to pray? There just seems no hope, there seems to be no point. But oh, the Lord sends something to keep us looking to him. Oh, to keep us crying unto him. Is it not, that grace of hope that the Lord will appear? The Lord will come as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you. The disciples, when sent upon the lake before the Lord Jesus, well, it was now dark and Jesus had not come unto them, but we read that he saw them. What did he see? He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary. Well, it may be toiling and rowing in prayer, because things are contrary. Oh, many errands to the throne of grace. Oh, it may be in our life, our situation, our circumstances, things, the wind is contrary, things are against us. Oh, things are adverse, things are difficult. Many wave upon wave. Thy water floods go over my head. But let us just consider, where was Jesus? High up in the mountain. What was Jesus doing? He was in prayer. He was praying unto his Father. But he was praying for his people. I pray for them as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you. And it wasn't until the fourth watch of the night that Jesus did come unto them. Through that night they must labour. Oh, through that night they must struggle. Oh, through that night they must press on. Oh, through that night they must continue. All through that night they must toil. Through that night they must row and row hard. But the Lord's appointed time was the fourth watch of the night, and he did come unto them. Fear, be not afraid. It is I. It is I. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And is it not in our troubles and our trials and our difficulties? Is it not in our afflictions and our sicknesses, our infirmities? Is it not in our sorrows and our losses? Is it not in our burdens and our cares that we long for those comforts from the Lord? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And we think also the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. For he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And how often the Lord comforts his people by granting to them a word in season. How good it is. Oh, when he sends that word and applies it with divine power, it may, as it were, literally be a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a word of favour. A word of assurance or reassurance, a word of confirmation. It is a comfort to know that God is upon the throne, God is in control. Oh, it is a comfort to know that things do not happen by chance. Oh, it is a comfort to know that there is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. Oh, it is a comfort to know that the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in glory, who also maketh intercession for us. It is a comfort to know. Wasn't it a great comfort to Job? I just turn to it in chapter 23. And oh, what Job was passing through. Those sorrows, those griefs, those sadness, and how he'd been laid so low. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. And then added to this, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But then that eye of faith pierced through those dark, dark, lowering clouds. But he knoweth the way that I take. I believe these words have been made such a comfort to many a troubled soul. He knoweth. The God of all grace, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort. Oh, the good and gracious God, he knows. The God who never makes a mistake. The God is good. But he knoweth the way that I take. There must be a purpose, there must be a reason. Why through darksome paths we go and can see no reason, yet we shall hereafter know, each in his due season. But he knoweth. He knoweth a way that I take. When, not if, when he hath tried me. And in this Job knew that the Lord was trying him, as gold and silver is tried. And as it is in nature, the gold and silver is never left in the fire indefinitely, never left, as it were, to burn there. But there is that set time when that precious metal must be brought forth out of the fire. The fire has done its work. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as God. Well, it may be tonight. You're in such a dark pathway. You feel to be so tried. You fear that you shall never come forth. Perhaps Job felt at times he would never come forth. Oh, I'm sure that dear Joseph in the prison thought he would never come forth, but the word of the Lord tried him. Oh, how it tried him. And that day came when he did come forth. He did come forth. He came forth as gold. The fire had done its work. And that day will come forth. That day will come when you also will come forth. The Lord will bring you forth. The Lord will comfort you as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Indeed, casting all your care upon him. We do tend, do we not, to cast our cares upon one and another. Just look at it in nature, as one whom his mother comforteth. So the little child runs to his mother, perhaps rather than his father or his siblings or others, but to his mother, longing for her tender, loving care, her compassion, her kindness, her touch, her words, her voice, her speech. Well, may the Lord wean us from all other. You see, it's casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Or it may be with those disciples in the storm, when they at last came to the Lord Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? In the storm that you may presently feel to be in, or you may feel also, carest thou not that I perish? But Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the waves, and there was a great calm. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Oh, how you long for the Lord to arise, the Lord to come, the Lord to appear, the Lord to provide, the Lord to undertake, the Lord to go before, the Lord to make a way. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Ah, that the Lord will come and bring you forth. Oh, may the Lord ever enable us to cast all our care upon him. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Well, there may be that in the context of this passage concerning Christ at Jerusalem, the temple. But then it really came to me, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Well, yes, here upon this earth, many troubles, many sorrows, many trials. And from time to time, the Lord comes to comfort his people, how they need those comforts. But I think of New Jerusalem, I think of heaven. Oh, what the Lord has prepared for them that love him. All there in eternal comforts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. May the Lord help us to try to consider all things in the light of eternity. Does not the apostle speak of the glories that await, cannot be compared to the troubles or afflictions in this life? They are but for a time, a short time, a moment of time. Or it may be very deep troubles, very sore troubles, very painful, very distressing. But our heaven at the end. Oh, may we be found by the grace of God, striving to enter in at the strait gate. For strait is the gate and narrow is the way. Yes, it is a narrow way. At times it becomes so exceedingly narrow. We wonder if there's any way at all. But remember, it leadeth unto life, eternal life, everlasting life. Yes, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh, we could have spoken of Satan's accusations, temptations and threatenings and the fiery darts, and how the Lord will comfort his people with a shield of faith. Ah, few there be that find. Oh, to be found amongst those few, brought safely to glory, there to be comforted forever. With them numbered, oh, may I be, now and in eternity, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Hart is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Philip Hare next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 174. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. 174.
Jesus is precious,
now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.